Welcome to Spring, the podcast that dives deep into the world of water skiing with Chris Rossi and Trent Fennison.
Rossi, last episode, that was a fun one for me. I know we've talked about it. It was a fun one for both of us. Really, you know, creating that sort of theme for the season, you know, having a good, honest look at your skiing and you know, what is the one thing you want to improve upon? And then from there, I think, and everyone's going to do this in their own way. So we're going to paint this out in the way we recommend it. And that's how to plan out your entire season. This is going to be the more concrete version of what we talked about last week. But this is going to be really, it's setting out a roadmap for the entire season with all the checkpoints along the way.
You know, there is no one way to do something. And I think that that's something that you and I share with people. So what we're trying to do is just kind of lay it out there, lay one or two different ways of going about it. And then just, you know, let's see where that gets us. And maybe that'll get your wheels turning. Maybe that'll spur some new changes or new additions in there. I mean, maybe last season you had one of the best seasons of your life and you already have a game plan going in. Then just kind of, you know, listen through this and see if, you know, it's all resonating and you got it dialed in. If last year was a disaster or, you know, didn't go as planned or whatever that is, then maybe it's time to kind of, you know, take a bigger step back and really dive into what Trent and I are talking about. So I think everybody's going to get a little bit of something out of this. And it's always a great exercise this time of year to really just dive in and check yourself and get moving. So, you know, Trent, yeah. I think one of the things that I love about the way that you go about this is I really like the way you talk about your qualitative and quantitative goals. And yeah. I think that jumping into, I mean, is this a good part of the segment to jump into what those are and how you view those? Or
it's definitely a part of it's a part of mapping out your whole season. And like, just, you know, it said there's different ways of doing it, but this, like when I've reflected on my most mediocre seasons and compare them to my most successful seasons, this is where that's how I arrived at this idea of having a little more structure to your game plan, right? Too often we start skiing in April, we're a little bit stressed out by May 15th because our scores maybe aren't where we thought they were going to be. June comes, maybe we're starting to ski a little better. You know, maybe mid-July, we're pretty stoked where we're at. August, we're not that stoked anymore. And again, that's just kind of reflecting from past experiences. My most successful seasons, I just put a lot of structure into my planning. So I think for me, mapping out your season, and it's going to look like this. It's going to look like Rossi, you said you're going to have – step number one is you reflect on the previous season. Step one, reflect on your goals and your accomplishments from the last season. If you didn't have a plan last season, you can still just look at the outcomes. Write down all your tournament scores in chronological order. Just sort of see a flow to where you were last season. If you had already done this plan for last season, then you can kind of compare it to, you know, where did I plan on being? Where was I? You know, and you know, what's the correlation there? And then once you reflect on what you did last year, then you're going to decide, you know, okay, what is it that I need to do better this year? So, and that's kind of where we started this season off last episode, Ross. We talked about coming up with, you know, we called it a theme for the season. So that's going to be, you know, what's a qualitative goal? What's one quality of my skiing that needs to be better? And again, that's having an honest look at your skiing and what do I know I need to improve upon? What do I need to just stop massaging and really address it? You know, what's that elephant in the room? And so I'm going to mark down or write down a qualitative goal to my skiing. What's one aspect I'm going to improve upon? And then I'm also going to come up with a series of quantitative goals. Like what is it, what do I want to run this season? what placements would I like to find, you know, if I ski tournaments, if I ski like title events, you know, where would I like to see myself stack up? Where would I like to see myself improve upon last year? And then from there, you start mapping out the season. When is my season going to start? When can I get on the water? And I just go like a sort of a month by month, like a general framework, you know, where do the tournaments start? Like, where can I start plugging these tournaments in? And then I have like this, you know, if it's an 8-month season or whatever it is, you know, I have this sort of 8-month framework of, so first on kind of a skeleton level, I'm going to start skiing. We'll just say April 1st. Here's my first tournament in June, my next tournament, you know, the third week in June, whatever it is, start just getting kind of a skeleton outline. For me, whiteboard was kind of the way I like to do it in those last couple seasons. And then with it in front of you, with this framework in front of you, you can start seeing like, you know, here's where peak number one needs to be. If that's mid-June, I want to be skiing reasonably well in my first tournament. Obviously that I don't need that to be the best skiing all year, but just sort of like get a little flow to your season visually. I want to have a small peak here, a greater peak here. And then just, you know, we'll just say if this season you're skiing, there's a few world events this year. There's a junior worlds in, July, I believe. There's a senior worlds in September. So for example, or if it's your regionals or a local tournament, whatever, like where is the, you know, where is, what's the pinnacle of my season? Where do I want to be kind of on the most confident, comfortable plane? You know, I don't want to necessarily say, you know, where does the peak need to be, but like where do I need to be comfortable and confident? And I think like when you can kind of see this flow to your season, for me it took away a lot of the stress, you know. If I want to be, we'll say, peaking in September, it takes away a lot of the stress of July and August, you know. And then this, as you get more into the season and as things start becoming clear, you can start tightening things up a little bit. You know I want to be skiing kind of at this level by June, this level by July, this level by August, this level by September. And then you can kind of have these lulls in between. And I think, not everyone's brain works in the same way, but for me, and I think for a lot of skiers, this kind of plan for the entire season, it takes away a lot of the stress and it's actually, I just kind of use it just to pull me through the season. You know, if I was getting a little bit burnt out or a little bit tired, I could just see it in front of me. Well, I have 3 weeks, so I don't need to be grinding right now. I can take a 10-day breather and just kind of let this thing breathe a little bit, let it mellow out, and then start ramping up again. For years, Rossi, and I'm going on this, but this is where it's at, man. Yeah, and I just wasted a lot of time. I'm struggling, just grinding, struggling, grinding, like just doing the same thing day after day after day after season, and I got reasonably good, but you know, without that plan in front of me, I just like all I did was work hard. And the harder I worked, I just assumed I was going to get better results, and that's just not the case. You know, what's your experience tell you with that sort of, you know, where have your best seasons come from, Rossi? How tight did you map this out? Or because I think some people have this. I think confidence goes a long way in having kind of a natural flow and ebb through the season. But what worked best for you in this regard?
Well, I mean, wow, you just dropped a lot of knowledge in there. So I had about 14 things I was about to ask you, and then you just have to go ahead and finish off with that. I can tell you, you know what's crazy? My best years came after injury.
Yeah.
And that's really interesting, right?
Like, it is really interesting.
Like, why? Why would that be? Well, I can answer that one real fast. That one is I got something taken away from me that through injury that then I could not do. Yeah. And when I could not do, I sat and stewed and stewed and stewed And I mean, I would sit there and watch webcasts and want to throw things at the screen. And, you know, I mean, literally just, it, so what did I learn from that? It motivated me. So I came in, it also, by taking it away, I couldn't get into what you were just describing, that day-to-day grind, that doing the same thing. You know, I had time to, I had an immense amount of time to reflect, to, you know, think about how would I want to do this and what would this look like? So I believe actually the end result is basically exactly what you're talking about. I had a lot of time to think about what I wanted to do, how I was going to do it, and my game plan that I was going to do. And so, yeah, I come into the next season, you know, healthy, fired up, ready to go, new fire from within that just burns so, so hard and hot, you know? So I think that's like, and that's what springtime is to me every year. But I mean, when it's taken away, it's just that even that much more. So anyway, yeah. I think that, you know, when I was listening to you talk, that's my, just my quick, you know, like when you asked me that question, that's what popped out at me. So yes, it's about having a better plan, about being dedicated to that plan and knowing that I'm going to succeed in that plan. Before I even started, I knew that that was going to be my year.
How specific, like, you know, I've read 100 books on goal setting or at least books that touched upon different types of goal setting and different kinds of strategies. You know, I know there's skiers that say they don't do those kind of quantitative goals, meaning they don't set a goal like, hey, this year I want to run 32 off in a tournament. You know, some skiers don't, you know, they shy away from that sort of thing. What do you think? Like I'll say first that I like to set a lot of different categories of goals, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, I want to have that qualitative goal, meaning, hey, this year I am not going to settle for a structural alignment that only hits the B minus mark. I'm looking for B plus A minus structure all the time. There's one type of goal, and then there's going to be event goals. You know, I want to be podium at these two events. You know, that's it. Like, and again, I'm not hinging everything upon this, but that's another subset of goals, and another subset of goals of consistency. Hey, I want to make sure that I don't miss 28 off in any tournament round this year. That's just like a personal goal this year. And then, you know, all these sort of subsets of goals, like how specific did you ever get, or how specific do you think someone should get, or start with the first one? How specific did you get? Did you, your best seasons, did you set those kind of goals, or what was sort of leading you? What was pulling you along?
I always like the idea of setting milestones along the way to big goals. Okay. Yeah. So that's your subset. I mean, I call them milestones. I like that word. Because if
and
you
would,
just,
and what
if
would
you
that
have,
be?
Okay. So, for me, I was always more into the thing that you need to work on that's going to take you to that next level. That was my infatuation. That's what I got lost in. So for me, like, that was the most important thing. Like that, and of course, you know, throughout the years, that is those technical advances in my skiing that I wanted to highlight and take a weakness to a strength. So getting lost in, not lost, being very, actually extremely not lost in that, being very defined and very committed,
like immersed in it,
to that, because getting lost in it also is where the downside falls. And this is where people come up short and they're like, I'm only going to work on this, but then they have no accountability to their skiing and they just keep going along. And then there's no, I don't know, if like the fire isn't quite there, which then you can lose focus that way. So for me, I was always, the focus started there. For events, you know, in my prime, knowing what I needed to know and do, you know, I mean, when I was, you know, skiing professionally, like 3 or 41 is going to put you on the podium.
Yeah.
So, you know, my goals looked a little bit more like, run 39 every round of the event. I really choose to go that route versus don't miss 39 in any round of any event.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I just like to choose the positive, not
for sure.
Like, oh, I might miss, you know, like take the fear-based stuff and get rid of it, right? Like, that's not ever going to help you. If you're worried about missing, then you're not worrying, you're not focusing on what is going to be your key to success. You know?
Run your opener in every tournament this year, right? Perfect. Like, I just, and I say that because I was working with someone this morning that was part of the conversation, you know? Mm-hmm. Every single set, you haven't skied since, you know, since last week, you're going to come out and you're going to run your opener in 50 mile an hour wind, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So like that's a milestone goal, right? And yes. That one, that's a season long goal. So that's going to keep you accountable for every round of every deal. So really what you're doing is you're making sure as a coach, you're making sure that your skier is ready to go from the start. You know, like number one thing that if I'm coaching people, you know, and we're coaching day after day or, you know, once a week or whatever that is, when they're on the platform putting their ski on, there's always one question. What are you working on?
Yep. What are we doing?
What's your focus point? Right.
Every
set. So by setting that milestone goal, you know, for tournaments, what you're really doing is just making sure that you as the skier, you know, you're accountable for that round. Like that you're not going to let any, like, and Trent, you and I talk about this. Like I absolutely despise the sets where I get done and go, what did I just do? Did mm-hmm. I even think about any, I had no purpose for that set. Like,
yep.
And then through that, you would think, oh, well, my only purpose was to have fun. But in a weird way, I wanted to say in a sick way, but it's not. Like in a weird way, like for me, skiing is super enjoyable when I set the parameters to what I want to have happen in that day, that set, that moment, that, you know, that is it's important for me that I'm fully committed to what I'm doing. If I don't ski well, that's different, right?
But it, like, is different.
Right. That's not, I mean, that's reality. I mean, that is what's probably, if you expect that you're going to personal best every single round of every practice and turn, like, that's not a realistic goal. Your body is going to be different. You're going to sleep different. You have many factors happening in your life. You have more stress from work. You have more, you know, you're distracted.
Well, and slalom's hard.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know? Oh yeah. That part too. It's actually really hard, you know? So you're going to have the ups and downs, but I think, for that, you know, for that end, that's important. And then, you know, for me, I would say, you know, I was just really infatuated with running 41 and learning this pass and the way through it. So for me, you know, I had goals for tournaments set around, you know, minimum of 3 at 41. I knew that would put me in contention to, you know, my job out there was to do well, make money, and win events. So if I'm going to do that, then I need to run 39 every round, and then, you know, I needed to get to or beyond 3 at 41. And mm-hmm. So in practice, yeah, I mean, my goal would be to run it as many times as I possibly could so that I've experienced many different ways to get through the line length so that when adversity hits, which it always does at buoy one or at my gate glide or going into two or whatever that is, that I have, that I've run it enough times that I know a pathway through it. So that was, you know, that was kind of my deal. I think that I lacked in the part that I really like about what you bring to the table to this game, which is understanding, like, June tournament doesn't have to be the PB. Like,
no,
I think I came into that wanting PB every single time, expecting it. You know, and then
and we all do a little bit, but and like I think like for me it was like just is like putting ego aside, and it's not, and it wasn't that I would go into a June tournament hoping to ski bad or slow playing. This is definitely not a slow play to your season, but it's like, you know, what is that goal for the first tournament of the year, you know? And if in the moment, if that's the only way you're addressing it, it's overwhelming because it's like, well, no, I want a PB. I want it. That's all that really matters. But if you're looking at it as it relates to the, we'll just say 12 tournaments that you're going to ski that summer, or 10 tournaments you're going to ski that summer. So its role in the big picture of a single season, its role is actually quite minor, right? So it's, you know, for me, that goal for the first tournament round of the year is more about, it's going to be really two parts. It's going to be, I want to get reaccustomed to, the process of skiing tournaments, because I haven't done it since last year. So that's going to be, you know, my warm up, you know, how to put myself, you know, practicing, putting myself at the right, right arousal level that works best for me on the water. So I'm practicing that again. I'm practicing standing on the starting dock. And I don't mean that in the physical sense, but more in the emotional sense. And then I'm going to test my theme for the season. You know, I'm going to test, okay, here's what I've been working on since April. You know, I know where it's got me in practice so far. Now I'm going to test it in a tournament. Let's see how my decided focus for the season, let's see how it pans out in tournament. And you know, again, if you're only existing set to set, or tournament to tournament, if you're not looking at the entirety of the season, each individual set or each individual tournament just feels bigger than it is, you know?
Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about what you were saying, like in regard to that being a test and, you know, like that thing that you're trying to, you know, your technical aspect that you're trying to go, like, so as I understand it, and this is how I think about it, but I wanted to kind of just get your take on it, is like, you've been working, let's say April, and now you're at your first tournament in June. So you've been working on, you know, let's say it's a, you know, alignment thing, right? Like staying aligned out of my offside turn. I really need to work on my alignment, right? Like, so when you go to the tournament, can you talk about maybe what that, like what your focal points would be and how you actually evaluate how your round went based on score or based on that? I think that'll really help people.
Yeah. So, I mean, like as you mapped out the season, you will have mapped out, a general, like where you plan to be by, we'll say June 1, like we'll say this is your first term of the year, where you plan to be there in terms of score. But it really is going to be more important about, okay, like these last 6 weeks, you know, this idea of, and I'll just use your example of just confidently maintaining better structure through the exit offside. So if that means not rushing the turn and abandoning your body position just for the sake of trying to get, you know, quick angle, you know, so however that sort of paired, or however you kind of streamlined that to your approach over the last couple of weeks. And now it's all this is just your chance to test, to test these movements when you're a little tighter, when there's a little more pressure, when, you know, there's a little more energy and anxiety. And then that's how you're going to, you know, that's how you're going to evaluate, you know, that particular part of your season, that particular tournament. It's going to be, okay, where did the score end up? Because you're going to need to mark that and overlay it compared to, you know, where you intended to be, roughly. And then, but as important as it pertains to moving forward is judging the other, you know, the qualitative aspect of your skiing. Hey, look, I my intent on this tournament was to have consistent, you know, fast gates through every single pass and have better structure, better power out of my offside. So score aside, wherever that score ended up, it's also very important to you know, assess yourself in that qualitative manner too. How, like, here was my goal. Here's how I intended to move. Did I move in those, you know, did I hit those goals? Cause again, that there's these subset of goals, like just say you go out and you run two buoys below your previous season average. You're like, okay, so quantitative, that's not great. You know, maybe I'm not embarrassed. Maybe I'm embarrassed, whatever. But then that other subset of qualitative goals, okay, but did I hit these other marks? Did I move in a functional manner? Did I do what I was intending to do? And then I just made another mistake and the score stunk. That is what it is. But like, I guess, you know, you can cleverly set yourself up for success by having these different subsets of goals. And I know, don't roll your eyes. Not you, Rossi, but whoever might be rolling their eyes. I know all that matters in the end is the score, but you've got to find yourself a way to get there. And having all these different achievable goals along the way, different manners, different subsets of goal setting, all those victories start adding up.
Confidence is key. And yeah. The big thing that I hear for me, you're going to see me happy when I set my goal to, basically it's not about the buoy count. It's about how well I accomplished inside of that, my other goal, like my goal of, my technical goal of like what I want to improve on in my skiing, especially my June tournament, early July tournament. I'm going to sit there. What did I run for a score? Yes, that score is always there. You can't get around that score. But how well did I do what I've been working on is so much more important to me than that number. And then I see that number and I go, wow, everything went out the door. I didn't even think about what I was working on. I just chased buoys and it was Hammer Town and there's my goal. And then I'm going to go back and I'm going to go, okay, well, why is there such a disconnect between my practice and my tournament? Is it that I'm not skiing enough tournaments? Like if you want to win a nationals, then you better ski a lot of tournaments, along the way so that you feel ultra confident being exposed to all of those external pressures or, things that may or may not happen. Like if you want to be a great tournament skier, I believe you need to ski a lot of tournaments to get there. But we want our practice sets to be very similar and accountable to what our tournament sets are. And all a tournament is just adding in a bunch of other factors that you can't control and seeing how well that you can stay focused on your goals. So it's like 10 shiny objects all, flashing in front of you. And really all you need to do is stay focused on that carrot that you've been looking at the whole time. So yeah. I think that's kind of like the end game there on that end. So, Maybe Trent, just, I guess we kind of have, but like, if you've got a new student, let's just take a 2 at 32 off skier. Okay.
Yep.
And you're working with them. And let's say that they're, it is a stance issue, finishing the offside, tend to drop the hips back, crank the shoulders in. We're going to work on stance. But so what would you just initially kind of throw out there for milestones and goals to help them kind of just structure this out if they're brand new to you? Is this a fair question because you're not getting to see them ski, but
yeah,
I tried to paint a picture of it.
Yeah, no, it would just depend on the time of year. But, I think if it was, early season and we could map out this whole picture, it would be, like always, it's going to be those first, 6 weeks of your season. Like that's something I stress a lot with people. And I guess, as to this topic, mapping out your entire season, like that first 6 weeks of you being back on the water, that's where you can make these. That's the only time you can make big foundational changes, Once you're into the season, once you're kind of back, using air quotes, once you're back to where you were, you're unfortunately kind of back to where you were. It's hard to make changes later in the season once you've got, 100 hours under your belt. So it would be affording yourself the breathing room to stay in this kind of qualitative mindset for 6 weeks where I'm not at all interested in buoy count, only as it relates to the short term, these first 6 weeks. And I'm going to run, I am going to strictly address this one issue. And if it's on my easiest pass, if it's on my opener for, you know, more time than I want to spend, make sure that it's time you're willing to spend, because, you know, again, those big foundational changes, big foundational improvements have to be done early in the season.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. And then, so we're going to do the first 6 weeks. We're going to really just dive into our, you know, weaknesses and whatever we want to call it. The thing that's going to make the biggest impact on our skiing, right? Like, you know, that's like for those people who drop their hips and their, you know, their butt's always back and people are saying, get your hips up. Then, you know, Trent and I will talk about stance more than get your hips up, because it's clear that you can't just put your hips up. That's not, if you could do it that easily, you would be doing it that easily. So like finding that way, that pathway through, and really just spending 6 weeks, you know, it's like a golfer working on their swing, even though they already have a good swing. I mean, look at Tiger Woods. I mean, the guy, you know, has reinvented his swing multiple times throughout his career, right? So, and I only know that because everyone talks about it. So like, I'm not a golfer, but like, you know, and maybe Tiger Woods isn't the right guy to be using as for this analogy. But anyway, the point being, you know, spend your first six weeks really honing in on setting those, what did you call it? Like those new neural pathways, right? Like your way to connect the dots becomes more clear if you really spend time focusing on that.
And then that's why, you know, viewing your season as a whole is important, because, you know, it's really easy to I don't want to say wasting time, but it's easy to kind of abandon. That's exactly it. It's easy to abandon a plan when the plan doesn't really exist, you know, meaning it's really easy to spend two sets on a specific mechanical issue. And then two sets later, you're either bored or you're too stressed out to continue to focus here, because you're worried about, you know, where you're going to be in August. Like, seeing the season in its entirety allows you to confidently work through the different phases of the season, right?
Okay. I like this. So this, I think, is the right mentality to start the year. We are going to need to have, you know, if you're a tournament skier, then obviously you're going to have performance goals that you want to have. So 100%. with that skier we were talking about, Trent, like, maybe setting a goal to, you know, if they're a 3:32 off skier, then we know they want a PB, right? I mean, like, if they've, for sure, if three is their best, then, you know, what's the, is the super carrot, the end goal, to run 32? How would you set that for somebody so that you know the end goal? And then what are the milestones that you might set leading along the way? Just so like some people who maybe never done this might just kind of go, oh, it's like this, this, and this, like a few quickies.
Yeah. No, and I think it's going to be different depending upon, you know, someone's skill set. But like when I'm doing it with someone, and you and I've talked about this before, like watching someone run one pass, you've got a pretty good idea of where their skill set currently is. Where it could be in the short term. But let's just say you're a mid 32 off skier. Like, your obvious goal would be, yes, man, I want to run one at 35 this year. You know, I want to run 32 off. And then that's when goal setting becomes important, because everyone has these goals, right? Everyone has these numbers in their minds. Everyone wants to get to the next line length or the next speed or whatever it is. And then I'll use myself as an example. And I've shared this in the past. I used to, when I was younger, you know, and especially when I started skiing really well in practice, you know, we'll say like 2009, 10, 11, like in there, like, you know, and I was putting up practice scores that would hold up with anyone anywhere, honestly. And so I would enter this season with this ridiculous goal. Like, reflecting back now, I just have this ridiculous internal goal. Well, like I want to win a season. I want to win an event this year. I want to win an event this year. I'm going to win an event this year. And it was mm-hmm. So there's like, so I can relate that to the goal of, I want to run 32 off this year. But if you don't structure it out, then it's just that. It's more of a wish than a goal, right? Even if you know you're capable, looking back then, I knew I was capable, but just like that, that's a wish, you know? Mm-hmm. But if you're like, okay, what do I need to do better to run 32 off? I can run 28 off every time, but 32 off just isn't happening. And let's just say it's, you know, I know if I was consistently in a stronger position, I could run it. Okay. So now we're going to spend X amount of weeks. I want to see that position. I want to feel that position on my opening pass. I'm not going to settle for anything that isn't that position. And before I speed up or go to the next line length.
But isn't your opener just a warm-up pass?
Yeah, exactly.
That's sarcasm,
figure it
people.
Once you get there. Once you get there. Yeah. Like that, you know, and just an aside, that's a good point, Rossi. You learn everything. Everything happens on the passes that are slower, more easily attainable. The passes you can wrap your brain around. That's where you learn everything.
Yes.
You know? And I mean, it's the same thing. Like, you know, you didn't learn to run 41 just by hammering away at 41. You learned how to create space at 39. So it's the same thing. Here's what I need to improve. Here's when I'm going to spend time improving that right there. Now I'm going to look at my entire season. I'm going to ski tournaments, you know, 2 in June, 3 in July, 4 in August. So here's my little marks along the way. So these first 2 tournaments in June, I'm going to hope for the best as it relates to the score. But these first 2 tournaments, I'm going to really make sure that no matter how nervous I am or how jacked up I am, I'm going to my opening 2 passes. It's going to be with perfect position. And then maybe the next is, you know, like no matter what, early, late at 28 off and at 32 off, I'm going to commit to exiting the turn in that powerful position. However you want to internalize it, but taking like a wish from a goal just takes concrete planning and Rossi had said those milestones along the way, like, you know, whether it's I want perfect 28s by this date kind of thing, and those subsets of goals, like you just get all these victories along the way as it relates to the different subsets of goals and the different milestones you've set, and you just do, you build a path to that end dream.